this morning, and we're excited. We're also a little late. Sorry, running a little behind. But let's go ahead and get through this as quickly as we can, and we'll try to get on with giving Brother Philip a little bit of time to teach. So this morning, I've had been asking a whole lot this morning about Preacher Lasley, and we don't know anything over the last 2 or 3 days. We know that Tori is here, and they're making some arrangements for Preacher Lasley, but I don't know. They're thinking that he's going to be put in a nursing home for a little while, and so he's going for therapy, okay. I'm sorry, Larry. Yes. Okay. Okay. But that kind of puts you in a hard place, doesn't it, Brother Larry? Okay, good deal. I've not... Don't say that. Don't say that. Okay, he's going for some therapy, rehab. That's right. And so, you know, most of us know that you have to go somewhere where they're giving that. And a lot of the nursing homes do give it, but also we have some facilities that do give it, just therapy. So Preacher Lasley is going to get some therapy. He's been down flat of his back now for over 2 weeks. And so his legs and things have grown weak. And so y'all pray for him, pray for Miss Lasley, and for the family as they try to take care of the needs that he has. And so that being said, that's all I know this morning. So want to remind you about the others on the prayer list. Most of y'all know Roger Cox, and Roger is going through some hard times now, taking some tests. So y'all remember him in this, and remember Miss Sandy as she works with him on it. And so maybe we'll know some more about his situation here a little bit later. We have all of our cancer people that are on the list. We're still praying for them. Phil, is Debbie still doing about the same? She's a little bit worse. Okay, Miss Debbie Deacon's a little bit worse than she was. So remember Debbie. And I noticed Brother David Harrison's not here. Okay. So he's over to Victory Class. And we're still praying for David. And Larry's daughter, Miss Leslie Farmer, got some good news. Yeah. Let's just keep her in our prayers and pray that this cancer will not become active again. And so, all the folks that's on this little list that we give out this morning, if you remember them in prayer, and we're still thinking about Brother Mark Bowser that went home to be with the Lord and his family. So y'all keep them in prayer. And of course we've had others, and we talked about that last Sunday, but all of these on the list, just pray for them. Okay, Larry. Oh, she went back yesterday? Okay. We've been waiting to hear about that too. Okay. Remember Sarah? Yes, ma'am, Miss Nancy. Okay, remember Miss Nancy's family there. Her daughter-in-law is going for surgery, And then her prodigal son's going to be with them for lunch, which is good. And let's see, Brother Larry. Oh, I'm sorry, Nancy. Okay. Okay. Brother Larry Trent's going to have a procedure on Tuesday, testing. And also Brother Carl Bond is going to have a procedure on Thursday. I believe he said to implant this thing in his back to help with all the pain that he's going through. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. So remember these in prayer and pay particular attention to the center flap in your bulletin about the things that are happening at the church for the next few days. Please read that and you'll be informed with those things that are going on. And if you're a part of it, if you want to attend, then that will keep you right up to date. So, anybody else have anything else? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started with the rest of the class service, okay? Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we bring these requests to you, Lord. The ones that I can remember here, Lord, Carl Knox Bond is going to have this implant in his back. God, we pray that you'll be with that. Lord, Brother Larry Trent's going to do some testing procedures on Tuesday. Lord, I pray you'll be with that. And then, Lord, we have others that are like in Nancy's family, her daughter-in-law is going to have surgery. And then, Lord, we just thank you for all the things that comes with the season, Lord. We think about you and how you gave yourself, God, for our sins, and Jesus to die on the cross for them. Lord, we just thank you for that. Without you, we would have no hope, Lord. And God, I pray that you will bless this class today. You'll bless the service to follow. And Lord, we'll just give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll have our drawing for the gift certificates. Okay. Somebody has number 18. Look on your bag on the bottom or the side.
I'm telling you, that's what it is, Food City 25.
This will be a $25 gift certificate to Food City. Who has number 18? If you would look on your bag, please. You're going to have to look close, because we missed a bunch of them too, Brother Larry, and they sure enough were there. If you don't have one, Brenda back there is the woman you need to blame for that failure. Just joking, ma'am, just joking. Did you find it? Okay, cool.
Number 18. Does anybody have
going once, going twice. Okay, we can draw another one. It's okay, brother.
Okay.
And this one will be number 13. All right, Brother Mark. And? Number 36. Number 36. Oh, Mr. Grote back there, Patty. Mr. Grote? On the very back corner. Raise your hand, Mr. Grote. You might need to wave it. She's blind. All right. 39. All right, Judy.
Okay.
And one last. Here we go. Number 35. Who's got number 35? Those are $25 gift certificates to CL. Is 35 you? No? Okay. All right, Mr. Grote's mother. Merry Christmas to all of you. We are good. There you go, brother. Thank you, Patty. And thank you to Brenda and her daughter and my wife for making these bags up for us and helping us out. There is no doubt in anybody's mind that no church could function without women. They do the bulk of everything that's done. I know we talk a lot, and we ought to talk a lot about the preacher and his ministry because it's so important, but there would be no church building, no church ministry without godly women to do it. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for your ministry. Many times it goes unnoticed. They do all that they do in the background, and it just wouldn't work without it. There's a verse in the Bible that I don't know if you've wondered about at times, but it says, "The first shall be last, and the last first." Sometimes I wonder if that's not inclusive of women who in this life seem to be last, but their ministry and their work is so vital to the cause of Christ. I wonder if in that world they'll be first. Who knows?
No men can survive without
them. Last week we tried to encourage ourselves to seek for a crown. All those wonderful verses about us throwing our crowns at Jesus' feet and him putting them on his head and coming back with them and his reward being with him. We used to sing a song, you remember, at least way back. I haven't heard it in ages. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. We used to sing about that, and it used to be very important to the church. You don't hear much about it anymore, but we should seek that, amen? Now, the clearest example of how to win this crown, and that's what I'd like to talk about today, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. We'll be there just briefly. If you want to turn there, we can read that, and then we're going to turn over to where the battle actually happens. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, we learned something in high school. I can't remember what it was, geometry or algebra. That was a long time ago. And we learned, if you remember, the term axioms, A-X-I-O-M. And one of those axioms, to say something is axiomatic, it's just self-evident. It's obvious. And one of those axioms that we learned in those days long ago was that if A equals B, and if B equals C, then what? It's axiomatic that A equals C and C equals A. So that's what we're seeing. The logic that I want you to exercise today is will help us with this, because what we see here, I have fought, I have kept, I have finished, and henceforth, okay, because of these things, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Then he goes on to say, and to all them who love his appearance. So, if these things result in this, and this over here, all them that love his appearing also get this, so A, B, C. So, C, all those that love his appearing are doing what? They are fighting. They are finishing their course. They are keeping the faith, right? Now, we could say this a different way, in a more evangelistic and not a teaching way, is this, that if you're living, to say that all those that love his appearing is to say that you are living for that event. Could we say that safely? Indeed. I mean, if we love his appearing, that means that we live in expectation of that. We are so ordering our lives that is what we're living for. And everything else is incidental, correct? That's the most important thing. And so we could say, if we were talking evangelistically, is if you're not fighting, if you're not finishing your course, if you're not keeping the faith, you're really not living for the return of Christ. And if you really are living like Christ is going to return, you are fighting. You are finishing your course, and you are keeping the faith, because all of those revolve around getting this crown. So, there is a fight. Now, he did not say, I fought well, correct? It's a good fight. He didn't fight well. He didn't say, I fought good. He said, I fought a good fight. So there are fights that are good and there's fights that are not good. Amen. We don't need to be fighting with each other. And to be honest with you, we don't need to be fighting with the world. They're not who we're in battle against. Amen. We'll see that in a minute. So it's a good fight. We want to fight that good fight. And to fight well requires several things. Now, I'll mention some of these in passing because I want to look at something more closely. If you are still there in 2 Timothy, oh, I'm messing up here. Excuse me. I'm touching the wrong things. I have fought a good fight. That word fought is a Greek word, agonizome. It means to be fervent, to agonize. It's where we get our word agony. It is to be very fervent. Now, you and I both know that you cannot fight. We can't do any kind of fighting without fervency, without this zeal to do it. Now, you and I have seen movies about sports, and or you've seen sports events, and before the game, what do you see down there? The camera shows this mass of football people, and in the middle is the captain. And what is he doing? Giving them a pep talk, amen? He's stirring up their fighting ability, because if he doesn't, if they go out there halfway, are they going to win? Not even close. Amen. They've got to be stirred up. That's what this fighting is all about. Paul is saying we must be stirred up or we will never fight well. And I saw a documentary years ago. The name of the documentary was The Instruments of War. I thought, boy, that's going to be interesting. They're going to talk about tanks. They're going to talk about M16s. They're going to talk about grenades. They're going to talk about all these instruments of war. Do you know what it was about? It was about drummers and people that played the bagpipe. Instruments of war, and how essential they were to drum up the enthusiasm, the fighting spirit of the men. Now, this was before modern warfare, of course, where we kill people at a distance with guns and such a thing. It was up close, and they had to be stirred up to fight well. And so it talked about these drummers, boom, boom, all this martial drumming. You've heard such things, boom, 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 and it gets the men all stirred up into a fighting frenzy. And these drummers, and to me, bagpipes. But apparently, bagpipes was a martial instrument and was essential in stirring them up. And they would be with them on the front lines. And some of these drummers and bagpipers would win awards for bravery because they would continue, even wounded. And the enemy would try to attack the drummer or the bagpipe guy because they were so essential in keeping these men in a fighting spirit. And they would win awards because they would be injured and still playing or beating their drums. Isn't that amazing? Fought a good fight. Now, folks, you remember this when you were young and you were wanting so much to win this battle We're going to talk about it in a minute. And you would come up to the altar, and what would you do? You would pray so fervently. Do you remember those days? And you would agonize. You would say, oh, God, please help me in this battle that I'm having at work or in my family. Or, by the way, with your past. A lot of us got saved late, and we, sadly, were involved in lost family, traumas, all sorts of terrible things. So, that's the first thing we see. But also, look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6, because here's the battle. And if you'll turn there, and I really must hasten on. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, fervently, fully. And here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, he doesn't explain how to do this. How in the world do we do that? I do not think that's what he's doing here. This is so similar to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7 and 9. He says, the Lord is talking to Joshua, and he says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. I think that's exactly what we're seeing in verse 10 in this battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong. This is Paul. That was the Lord Jesus Christ with Joshua. And what was he doing? He's stirring him up to manly vigor, to manly courage. We all need this, amen? And we need to encourage one another in this. And so I think here what we're seeing in verse 10 is not a recipe on how to have power, but of Paul encouraging them to be strong and in the power of his might to do all this incredible fight that we're going to see. Now, in verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, as we've already said, we're not here to fight with each other. We're not here to fight with the world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting those people at work. When you used to go to work, like I did. Maybe you had somebody at work that just was a plague to you. Maybe they persecuted you, they gossiped about you, whatever. Your fight was not with them. Your fight was with the powers and the principalities that were behind them and what was going on in your soul because of them. Now, everything that we're going to see here is founded upon the Word of God. Look in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, whatever day it is, whether it's circumstances, whether it's people, whether it's something you can't get out of, whatever it is, the evil day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. So every one of these things, every one of them is an application of the Word of God to some aspect of your inner man. Whether it's the helmet, you're protecting yourself with some Bible verse to where you will not doubt your salvation. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It's just Bible verses that are going to help you in your gospel witness. Your breastplate of righteousness, it's some Bible verse that is keeping you from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So you are embracing, you are learning, you are memorizing, you are committing to your life Bible verses that are arming you against the evil day when the devil attacks. And we'll call it the devil here. Principalities, powers, under this umbrella, we'll just say it's the devil. So, but then he says this, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Look with me, keep your finger there, and look with me in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent what? Fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What is this fire? It's poison. He sent serpents, and they bit them. Now, you and I both know that the great danger of being bit by a serpent isn't that it rips your arm off. As a matter of fact, the actual site of the trauma is just two little puncture holes. But what is the danger? It's a poison that gets into our veins and kills us from the inside out. Now, if we go back to Ephesians, we see here, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery, the poisonous arrows of the devil. Now notice he didn't say he would stop the darts from coming. The darts come anyway. We can't get away from them. But what the shield of faith does is quenches the poison. Because what the devil wants, is it time already? Because what the devil wants in these attacks on us in the evil day is to inject into us through whatever it is a poison. This poison, anger, pride, fear, doubt, jealousy, envy, bitterness, indignation, vengeance, turmoil, lack of peace. The feeling that we have been abandoned by God. Have you ever been there? Mean-spiritedness. Now, this is the poison that the devil wants to inject into your soul through what you're going through. It's not the people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the circumstance. It's not your past. It's the devil using all of that to inject into your soul fear, bitterness, anger, despondency, despair, doubt. That is the fire that he would inject into us in our troubles. You ever been there? I'm going to share with you something, and I'll try to get it done in time. A wonderful lady in here loaned Patty and I a book, and both of us read it with great benefit. Basically, that book was a testimony of a woman's trial of faith. Something happened in her family that she could not control. It was overwhelming. It went on for months and months and months and months. She was completely unable to change the circumstances. And what she did was put 3x5 cards on this, by the sink, on the mirror, on the walls. She had 3x5 cards everywhere in her house because what would happen in this, she could not stop the attack of Satan, but through those Bible verses, she was able to quench the poison that the devil was trying to inject into her life. Oh, she would get so afraid. And she would think, God, what are you doing? Why are you bringing this on us? And she would begin to despair. And then she would go to those verses. What was she doing? She was holding up her shield of faith. To do what? To quench the poison of the trial. Does that make sense? That's what you're seeing here. And this is why he says, above all, take the shield of faith. You and I have got to get those Bible verses that when we're going through whatever it is, sickness, disease, persecution, loss, unbelievable difficulties, you and I have got to find those verses, because in that situation, you can become hopeless. You remember we shared with you about how our insurance messed us up, and we were going to be liable for tens of thousands of dollars, and we couldn't get out of it. We kept trying, and Patty and I had to go to the Word of God and find those verses that encourage us to believe that God is able to change all of our circumstances. But he wasn't doing it, correct? He was not. It went on and on and on, and Patty tried over and over and over again to get somebody to help us. And we had the temptation. The devil was firing fiery darts into us to cause us to doubt God's ability to handle this situation. I don't know how many times I went to that verse in Daniel where it says, that thou mayest know that God ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Do you remember that verse? I had to go to it constantly. Otherwise, I would get to the point where I think, this is impossible. No, it's not impossible. Amen? That's despondency. That's despair. That's doubt in the ability of God. And that's what that woman was doing for an entire year. By the way, her faith, her victory in all of that, year of unbelievable and unimaginable difficulty, her constant application of the Word of God when the fear came, when the doubt came, when the questions came, she would go to those verses and she would get victory. You know what was happening? Faith was quenching fire. Faith is an antidote to the devil's poison in our soul. Correct? I need to stop. Do you think, by the way, that woman, and I am positive, that woman, when she gets to heaven, is going to have a crown? Because in all of her deep despair, all of her fear, all of her inability to control those circumstances, she put her faith in some Bible verses and said, no, God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I do not know why we are going through this, but our God cares. And the despair would fall off. It would quench the fear. It would quench the doubt. And she would be victorious for a season. Amen. Because the devil's going to come again. Amen. He's not going to stop with his attacks. But I guarantee you, the Word of God, the shield of faith, is able to quench all the poison, the anger, the fear, the doubt, whatever it is in your life. But you've got to find those verses that are going to give you the victory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these people and their attention and your wonderful word. Help us, Lord, to rely solely on the Word of God to fight all of our battles in this good fight of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.